Flowers were placed on Katharine Hepburn's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. The actress died yesterday. She was 96. Hepburn's work in Hollywood will allow future generations to see and hear what made her the first lady of American cinema for many decades. But one thing the movies don't preserve is the stage work that she returned to throughout her career. Bob Mondello was lucky enough to see her twice.
I was in a foolish mood when Katharine Hepburn opened on Broadway in the musical Coco, and to my everlasting sorrow, I let the bad reviews keep me away. They weren't bad for her, of course. Everybody loved her. But nobody liked the show, and I was a purist back in 1969, so I missed my chance to hear her Coco Chanel sing, if that was the word for it.
The world belongs to the young. That's an order, so I hear. Salute and praise them, or hold your tongue. Even better, disappear. They say that I have had my day. It's time for someone else to dance. They say I ought to crawl away. Mes enfants, not a chance.
That's quite a note she has there, and she certainly made the most of it. Coco sold out for as long as she was in it and closed 6 performances after she left. It also spawned some nice Hepburn stories, how during previews, for instance, she climbed the scaffolding of a construction site near the Mark Hellinger Theater to make a little request. Could the workers, she asked the foreman, stop jackhammering for 3 minutes just after 4 p.m. on Wednesdays, so the matinee audiences wouldn't have to strain to hear her quiet solo in the second act? They could. It became a Kate break, and they observed it every Wednesday for the 10 months she was in the show. Anyway, when they announced a few years later that she would appear in A Matter of Gravity, I grabbed tickets right away, paying no attention to what anyone said about the play. It was pure piffle, but I still remember her entrance. Knowing that the audience would stand and cheer if given half a chance, she came on in a rush from one side of the stage and just kept going, striding right off into the wings on the other side. The applause turned to laughter, and once it had, she came back on, talking a mile a minute. And that was that. No star stuff for her. The guy she was talking to was an unknown youngster named Christopher Reeve, who played her grandson 2 years before he made the first Superman movie. I remember he looked about 9 feet tall standing next to her, and that despite that, she dominated the stage. A few years later, she was in an even lesser evening called The West Side Waltz by the guy who wrote On Golden Pond. Never mind, by that time, everybody was there to watch her, and to hell with the vehicle she was in. I don't remember a single line, but I remember the way she enunciated them, clipping consonants as if they were rose bushes. At the beginning of the evening, she was walking with a cane, and by the end, she was in a wheelchair, and despite every obstacle the playwright put in her way, the audience never doubted for an instant that she could run a marathon. She was our Kate, irresistible, as if anyone would ever want to resist. I'm Bob Mondello.
Our program is directed by Jonathan Baer, edited by Mary Louise Kelly, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Marty Curcius.
The production staff includes Julia Buckley, Rhonda Ray, Hannah Misol, Melissa Yeager-Miller, Carol Klinger, Franklin Cater, and Quinn O'Toole.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. The managing editor for NPR News is Barbara Rehm. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.